it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome, everyone, to the PFF Fantasy Podcast. I am your host, John Macri, fantasy analyst here at PFF, and I am once again joined by PFF's lead fantasy analyst, the great Nathan Yonke. Nate, I hope you enjoyed riling up Ravens fans and Gus Edwards fantasy managers across the world last night. How you doing?
I'm doing well. That was a roller coaster that I probably didn't need to go on, but we can jump right into that if you want, talking about Gus Edwards last night. So yeah, there are plenty of times in the preseason where you don't know if someone is not playing in the game, in which case that's a good sign. It means they're a starter or a key backup and they're fine. Or you don't know if they're going to be playing later in the game, which is a bad sign for them. And with Gus Edwards, the previous preseason game, we saw Justice Hill start the game. Gus Edwards came in the second quarter when Hill was done playing. So that was a little surprising last week, seeing Hill above Edwards, since Edwards has been above Hill throughout his career. And it made a little bit of sense in that the Ravens want to be passing the ball more often. Justin Hill is more of a receiving back. Gus Edwards has averaged a catch maybe once every two or three games or so, which is not great for a running back. So it made a little bit of sense last week. So then this week, he was named a captain with three other backups. So it was a little surprising to see him getting named a captain. Hill started the game again, had three plays of 10 plus yards on the first drive. So even if Hill is back to third on the depth chart, he had a good game. And then Melvin Gordon came in next, and I went and saw Gus Edwards on the sideline, had his helmet on his head, like not all the way on his head, but resting on top of his head. So it looked like it was ready to go on whenever he needed. So I started thinking, okay, maybe he's behind Melvin Gordon, and Gordon also could make sense because Gordon's been a more well-rounded back compared to Edwards, which is just the runner. So I thought maybe there's a chance Edwards has fallen down the depth chart. And then I still haven't figured out why they named him team captain, even though he didn't play in the game. So that was odd, but I thought, okay, maybe they named him captain because they know he's not going to be on the team much longer. So they wanted to honor him because he's been on the team for a good 5 years now or something like that. But they just named him captain for whatever reason and didn't play him. So it seems like at this point he's fine. He should be the backup, or at least he has a different enough role from Hill that they might not be a necessary, here's the backup to the backup, but the backup on early downs where Hill will be the backup on late downs. But it all turned out fine for Edwards. So we'll see what happens in a week from now when we have cut down day. So we'll probably change the podcast schedule a little bit to accommodate for that, so we can talk about the cuts as soon as we possibly can. But we'll see which running backs the Ravens choose to keep and which ones they choose to get rid of at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was one of my favorite parts of the first half last night, was just following the ups and downs of what is going on with Gus Edwards. Cause yeah, the captain thing was really funny. And yeah, like you said, did they name him captain because this is going to be his last game with the team or something like that? And yeah, there was another funny reply in your tweets about him potentially getting kidnapped as well, which had me laughing. Yeah. So yeah, between that and the Josh Harris handshake with Joe Buck last night, I mean, that alone made the first half probably more hilarious than I could have ever anticipated. So But yeah, it was, it, you know what, it ended up being a pretty entertaining game last night. You add in the electric Sam Howell and that Commander's offense, and it was a decent game, and we got a pretty good amount of time with the starters for Washington, at least anyways. And it was nice to see Terry McLaurin out there, but obviously, yeah, he's got the turf toe now. They're saying that there's no major injury there, but he could potentially be back for week one. So hoping that it's nothing serious for him. But when he left the game, it was like the Jahan Dotson show after that. I think they ran seven plays after McLaurin left, and they were all pass plays. The first five of them went to Jahan Dotson, and then they spread it out a little bit more. I think it was Samuel and De'Ami Brown after that. But I don't know. I'm optimistic about this Commanders team, like offense and defense. I feel like they could be pretty good in, you know, in an NFC that isn't as tough as the AFC. And, you know, there's at least hope there at Washington now with the new ownership and everything like that. But I like Sam Howell, so I think it could be a fun team to watch this year.
Yeah, they were at least able to end the Ravens' 24-game win streak in the preseason or whatever it was, so that made the end of the game entertaining as well. It is worth noting that Washington was playing Baltimore's second string and I believe some of their third string by the end of the half, so part of the reason they looked good is based on who they were playing. But even then, like you said, I think it's going to be entertaining to see. We were high on Howell compared to where he was drafted in terms of where our draft people had him ranked in our draft guide and whatnot. So, and a lot of the same people in Washington, it'll be interesting to see what they do with their running backs. In the preseason so far, it's been Brian Robinson would play anywhere from 4 to 7 plays, and Antonio Gibson would play from 4 to 7 plays, and they've just gone back and forth doing that. So I don't think it'll be quite that rotation once we hit the regular season, but it does look like a pretty close 50-50 split. So that was probably the most fantasy relevant thing that I was looking for in terms of player usage, since the wide receivers, it's just they're using the same wide receivers they were using last year in the same way they were using them last year, and Logan Thomas was out injured, and Baltimore played the backups. Zay Flowers played one drive, did well on the drive, and he and Devin Duvernay and Justice Hill were all done after that first drive. So not very many people on Baltimore who will end up making the roster playing after that point. So
yeah, it would have been nice to see maybe Rashad Bateman and Odell Beckham in there at least for a drive, so we could kind of see where they all stand amongst each other. But I think with them not playing, although they're both coming off injuries as well, right? But Zay Flowers could potentially be the third one there, at least to start the year, because yeah, he looked good as well. But again, it's the preseason, so it's hard to put too much stock into how good a player looks or how good an offense looks in there.
Even Nelson Aguilar has been resting for Baltimore, so that's a third wide receiver that Zay Flowers could even be fourth on the depth chart to start the season. But it's also completely understandable that a team is fine playing the rookies in the preseason and resting plenty of veterans, so it might not even be that much of an indication of the depth chart at this point.
For sure. Yeah, and then other than that, the only other, like, I mean, I guess major piece of news that we got yesterday, again, pretty much after we recorded, was that the Colts have granted Jonathan Taylor permission to seek a trade. We'll see if this ends up turning into anything. It didn't for Austin Ekeler, but let's just say Taylor is traded. Nate, do you have any preferred landing spots for JT here?
Yeah, first off, I don't think he will get traded. I think this is just the Colts trying to let Jonathan Taylor know that he doesn't have as much trade value as he hopes. So then maybe he'll come back to the team a little defeated, but more okay with staying with the Colts. So first off, I don't think he will get traded, but if he does, I think the Eagles are still the ideal landing spot for him, just playing behind that offensive line. I know playing with Jalen Hurts at quarterback isn't the best thing for a running back, since Hurts will get plenty of the short yardage and touchdown situations, but we're expecting that same thing to happen in Indianapolis with Anthony Richardson. So it'll be a better situation in that he'll have a better offensive line on an offense that should be scoring more points. So even if Hurts is taking a decent amount of the touchdowns, there should still be some left for Taylor. So I think that's the ideal landing spot. I could see Chicago making sense, even though I'd like to see Khalil Herbert get a chance to be a starter for a season, but I think that's another team where he would fit nicely. And then worst nightmare is he ends up with the Chargers, where he's the early down back and Ekeler is the receiving down back, and they start to cancel each other out a little bit more in fantasy football, kicking them both out of the top 10, even potentially.
Yeah, that would definitely suck. But yeah, let's do Rashad Penny and a combination of picks for Jonathan Taylor in a trade or something like that, and we'll hopefully that could work out, yeah. Maybe, because it doesn't look like Penny might get the start there in Philadelphia, so maybe he would, yeah. in Indianapolis if they got that done.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was Gainwell, just because of Gainwell. The familiarity with the coaching staff already in Indianapolis. So I would think, sure. If they trade a running back, it would either be Gainwell or Boston Scott or both.
Nice. Makes sense. All right. Let's do a quick ad break before we get into it here. And it is Fabric by Gerber Life. Fall is about the back to school and back to routine checklist. And the most important task on that list should be securing your family's financial future, starting with life insurance. Fabric by Gerber Life makes it quick, easy, and affordable to protect your family so you can get back to enjoying life. Fabric was designed by parents for parents to help you get a high quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. Fabric has flexible policies that fit your family and your budget, with quality policies like $1 million in coverage for less than $1 a day. Get your personalized quote in just minutes and then apply when it's convenient for you. It's all online and on your schedule. You can go from start to covered in less than 10 minutes with no health exam required. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/fantasy. That's meetfabric.com/fantasy. M-E-E-T fabric.com/fantasy. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company. Not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions. All right. So for this episode, we are talking draft strategy. We're right around the corner from, you know, the regular season. There's a ton of drafts going on right now. So basically, we're going to go round by round through a fantasy draft using the late picks this time, picks 10 to 12, snake draft style. We did picks 1 to 3 earlier in the offseason. And now we're going to kind of go to the end of the first round and see what things look like from there. This is going to be for 1 QB leagues. We're starting 2 running backs, 3 wide receivers, a tight end, and a flex. We'll walk through some of our thought processes and strategies as to how we kind of typically think through our picks and provide who our favorite targets are in each round from picking from either that 110, 111, or 112 range. And then that hopefully will give you guys some ideas on how to approach your drafts this year and obviously dominate your fantasy league. So I'm going to be following the consensus ADP on Fantasy Pros just for the sake of consistency, try to make this as kind of realistic as possible. Though, as we know, every single draft is different depending on who you're drafting with and where you're drafting. So we'll just try to keep it tight here with the ADP. Basically, you just won't see us like drafting Patrick Mahomes in the 5th or anything like that. All right, let's get it going here. Assuming you have one of these late 3 picks in your draft, Nate, we'll highlight our top targets and pivot options as well. So let's jump into it. You're picking at the back end of the first round here. What is your plan, assuming we follow that current ADP?
Sure. The plan is basically take the best running back or wide receiver available. Just from process of elimination, Travis Kelce is probably not going to be there, typically getting picked 5th or 6th. So if he does fall, definitely happy to jump on Travis Kelce at this point, but no other tight ends worth it at the end of the 1st or the start of the 2nd. Also a little too early for a quarterback. So basically willing to take whatever falls at this point, someone like Saquon Barkley, Bijan Robinson, Stephon Diggs, one or two of those players will get picked before this pick, but one of them will end up being available. So part of it is who falls, and the other part is just who am I more okay taking in the 2nd round and want to make sure it doesn't fall to that point, since guys like CeeDee Lamb, Nick Chubb, guys who are also available at this point, that if I really want one of those players, it's probably best to get them now rather than letting them wait to the 2nd round. So part of it's that, and part of it's just making sure you get who you want. So probably want a running back and a wide receiver, one of each with the 1st and 2nd round. So whichever one I'm getting in the 1st round, probably not getting in the 2nd round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I'm kind of going into this like assuming I'm not obviously going to get one of those kind of tier 1 running backs or wide receivers from this spot, like, and Kelce as well, like you said. So yeah, obviously if one of those guys falls here, I'll definitely scoop them up, but really just fine starting the tier 2 run on either running back or wide receiver, whichever one it ends up being. And I think if you know you're in like a kind of a running back hungry league, and there are definitely plenty of them out there, then I'm you know, grabbing Nick Chubb at the end of the first year, I'm okay with that, because wide receiver is still fairly deep, and you know, these other sleeper running backs might kind of creep up in ADP as we get closer to the season. So sometimes getting the safer running back options would be my preferred play to start things off if I'm drafting in this spot. And honestly, look, with questions about guys like Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs, even some of the third round guys like Breece Hall, Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, I'm probably okay going running back again in the second. Not always, but if I were to start running back, it's probably because I'm doing it here in these later picks here, 10 to 12. And then, at the end of the first round, and then kicking it off in the top of the second round, where I would go again, either if one of those other top running backs fall up to Saquon Barkley or Nick Chubb there, and then following it up with like a Tony Pollard, in the second round. So I have Pollard as my RB4. I have no problem taking him early in the second here, even if I've got Chubb already. I know in ADP he's a little bit later than this, but I don't have a problem reaching for Tony Pollard, because not going to get another shot at it here, because you're picking early in the second round and don't pick until late in the third round after that. So how about you?
I've also have Tony Pollard as the ideal person to take in the second. His ADP has slowly but surely gone up, especially after Elliott signed elsewhere. So people are finally happy to pick Pollard, even though they should have been happy to pick him earlier. But still, you should be able to get him at the start of the second round. The only other thing I'd consider here is a quarterback. Patrick Mahomes is tending to go around this range, even though I prefer Jalen Hurts over Mahomes, and Hurts won't go till later, and Hurts is a bit of a reach at this point in the draft. So only if you really want to make sure you get one of those top three quarterbacks, even though it's a little bit of a reach here, that's the only thing else that I'd consider. But wide receiver, like, I'd only really be considering Stephon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb, or Davante Adams here, and ideally getting one of them either in the first round or the second round. But if it's not a great value, I'm also fine getting running back and like Barkley, someone who was falling. So if I end up starting with Barkley and Pollard, even though I really enjoyed getting running backs in the fifth round, I can be okay getting two running backs here, just because that might just be the best value that you can get with these first two picks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've noticed there's usually one wide receiver of that, like first round guys that tend to fall into this range. Even AJ Brown, like, I like, I don't mind him here. I've seen Garrett Wilson, Amon-Ra St. Brown go up as high as, you know, end of the start of the second here, as well as people kind of try to want to get in on those guys a little bit earlier as well. So yeah, for the most part, I think picking, for me at least, you know, end of the first and beginning of the second, I'm typically going running back. If I have those options of Pollard and Chubb, for example, quarterback, usually for me, I'm waiting until probably the third or fourth round at the earliest, because I do still think there are some decent options there that I usually want to target. And we could go to the third round now, right? So this is picks 34 sure. to 36. So you had mentioned in your article drafting a quarterback or wide receiver in this range. Do you have any preferred targets at that position?
Joe Burrow tends to be the top target available at quarterback at that time. Lamar Jackson's the other one to really consider. Justin Fields, you can probably wait a little bit longer to get. So Joe Burrow's the one that I have targeted here. I also have wide receiver as the other option, just because there are some good players here. Keenan Allen, Debo Samuel, Calvin Ridley. I just had my article on the ideal time to pick wide receivers, and this was one of the spots, since all three of those guys, the last time we saw them play healthy, they were top five fantasy wide receivers. It just the staying healthy part that's been the problem recently. So all wide receivers that I'm happy to take here, especially if you go running back early, it's definitely worth considering. Just making sure that you get at least one pretty good wide receiver on the team. But Burrow is also someone where if you don't get one of these top quarterbacks with either this pick or the next pick, it's going to be harder to find a good value later down the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, I'm probably, Keenan Allen's going to be my ideal option here, at least to be my wide receiver one. If I did start running back, and if for whatever reason, Keenan Allen's gone and it's between guys, you know, Calvin Ridley, Aaron Jones, Debo Samuel, and one of like Burrow or Lamar, then I'm pretty happy to go quarterback here and not have to worry about the position again for basically the rest of the draft. If they're all gone, which is definitely possible as well, I think I would put Justin Fields in here or with the next pick, because we're picking so close together, because we're not going to get another shot at him in round five, basically. So, you know, for whatever reason, Burrow or Lamar are gone, I'm okay to reach a bit for Fields, who I think has that kind of overall QB1 upside here, or for my next pick, like I said. So depending on which wide receivers are available as well, because I do think you'll be able to get him here in the top of round four. And beyond that, it gets a little bit riskier, and I probably want to try to grab him as soon as I can. But
Yeah, that's why I tried to get quarterback first, is because in this scenario, we're passing on the top three quarterbacks. Burrow or Fields has an ADP around the 46th best player, so he is a bit of a reach at this point. So yeah, if you want him, you can get him, but I'd rather get someone like Burrow or Lamar Jackson, who is at least a little bit more at value here. But even Justin Herbert, someone that if you don't pick him third or fourth round, he's not going to be available once you get to your fifth round pick. So if you don't go quarterback with the third or fourth round, then the next best option is going to be Trevor Lawrence later. And if you can't get Lawrence, then the options get even worse and you wait even longer to pick a quarterback. So that's why I tried to jump on one here in the third round, just to make sure that Burrow and Jackson don't get picked when I want to pick him in the fourth round.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's a fair way to look at it for sure. And it definitely makes sense here. So with those guys out of there, let's go to round four here. So this is pretty close after. What are you doing here? Because we're both kind of doing the same things, it looks like.
Oh, yeah. Going with a wide receiver now that I have a quarterback and two running backs. It just feels like it's time to start picking wide receivers. So it already narrows down two of the positions, and tight end doesn't really feel like much of a value at round four either. We can talk about tight ends a little bit more in the later rounds. So it's just kind of process of elimination of, you get rid of all the other positions and wide receivers, what's left. And there's plenty of options at wide receiver available here. Keenan Allen, Calvin Ridley, Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, Terry McLaurin, assuming he's healthy, DJ Moore, probably a little bit of a reach at this point, but still someone who I think will play well this year. But there's just a lot of wide receivers who are either the top guy on their team or a very solid second receiver and a good offense. So plenty of options. So wide receiver just feels like a straightforward decision here.
Yeah, that's what I have here is wide receiver as well. And, you know, for whatever reason, if I did miss out on Burrow and Lamar Jackson and went Keenan Allen in that third round, then this would probably be where I would go Justin Fields as well. But yeah, happy to go wide receiver here. You know, again, quarterback, we might see it us potentially wait on the position for a little bit longer. But yeah, I like Jerry Jeudy here. We talked about him and his potential in that Broncos offense. If they can get back to kind of above average this year under Sean Payton and with Russell Wilson as well, I think he has some high-end potential. I'd be taking my swing on him as potentially more of my wide receiver two, ideally, but fine if it comes down to him, you know, being my wide receiver one. I'm just probably more likely to continue attacking the position in consecutive rounds if that's the case, if Jeudy or Moore or Cooper, one of these guys, is my wide receiver one.
That makes sense.
Let's go to round five. So now we're going a little bit later here, picks 58 to 60. What were you looking at in round five as your strategy?
For round five, and I'll talk about round six a little bit here as well, it's get a running back and a tight end with these two picks. Tight end is probably one of the biggest reasons why, if I had a choice of where to pick, I'm probably not choosing to pick at the end of the draft, because you're not getting Travis Kelce. Mark Andrews, it's too early to pick him with your first or second pick. He's going much later than that, but he's not going to be available once you get to your third round pick. With the third and fourth round pick, it probably is a little too early to get either TJ Hockenson or George Kittle, but both of those players are going to be gone by the time we get to these picks. And even now, it's at a point where this is a round where Darren Waller, Kyle Pitts, and Dallas Goedert are getting picked, just depending on the site. It varies a little bit here and there, but if you don't get one of those players, then the talent gets a lot worse at tight end. So this is really the only time, in my opinion, that it makes sense to try targeting a tight end, and hopefully at least one of them is available. So trying to get a tight end and running back here, and running back, it's only because it's not so much a need for this team because we went two running backs early, but because it's just where the talent is right now. There's a number of running backs who are the clear top running back on their team, that if you can get one now, it'll help your team where you're not going to be able to get one of these guys later. Alexander Mattison's been pretty much my favorite round 5 to 6 running back target for a while now, and he's still around that ADP. So Madison's definitely someone that I'm targeting. But someone like Cam Akers, who's a clear starter for the Rams, Rashad White's the clear starter for Tampa Bay, James Conner is the clear starter for Arizona, all those guys are available around this time. And if you're able to get an every down back in the 5th or 6th round, then I'm going to jump on it, even though that leaves a hole at wide receiver. But then it's just draft more wide receivers later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a fun part of the draft for me in round 5 and 6, because, yeah, like you said, it's either Pitts or Goddard, somebody like that. But this has also been, yeah, big, like, kind of Drake London area of the draft for me as well. He was one of my breakout wide receiver candidates for this year, and somebody that I think can greatly outperform his ADP, and especially if this is a start like 3 wide receiver league, he's usually someone that I want to grab in this range. I have him as my wide receiver 20. I think he's going as wide receiver 26 for the most part, but if I pair him with like a Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, or Jerry Jeudy, or somebody like that, I'm pretty good with that to kind of try to fill out that wide receiver room a little bit. Like you said, tight end definitely in play here. I do tend to go tight end a little bit more, like you said, because it gets a little bit iffy after that. But then, yeah, round 6 is like, this has kind of been basically found it like to be like the running back hotspot, right? I found it like almost impossible to kind of get to round 6 and not draft one of like Alexander Mattison, Cam Akers, James Conner. You know, even in this scenario, if I already have Chubb and Pollard, for example, I'm very happy kind of getting one of these other guys to put in my flex spot, Akers, Madison, Conner, even James Cook, like you said, depending on where I'm drafting from and if these other guys are gone by the time we're drafting again in round 7, you know, the guys like Javonte Williams and James Cooks of the world, they're typically gone by then. And I'm not maybe nearly as excited about a David Montgomery or AJ Dillon. So this has been and probably will continue to be like a running back hotspot for me round 6. So I'm probably fine passing on other positions to make sure I get at least one of these guys, even if I did pass on tight end in round 5 and took like a Drake London or somebody like that there. I find I can't leave round 6 without trying to grab a running back there.
That's fair. Yeah, I wrote the perfect draft strategy for running backs, the 5 spots where I pick running backs most often, and it's definitely that range, those same guys of whether I've drafted 1 running back so far, whether I've drafted 2 already, it's just the perfect time to add them because the drop-off is so much after that tier of running backs where you just have a bunch of guys who are in committees and you know they're going to see some playing time, but even if the other running back gets injured, that doesn't necessarily mean they'll be the one taking more playing time, so... Yeah. There's only a few of those running backs available, and if you can get 2 of them or 3 of them, then that's a benefit.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's take one more quick ad break here, and this is from our friends at DraftKings. This season, DraftKings has launched the largest best ball tournament in DraftKings history. Right now, you can enter into DraftKings Best Ball Tournament for a shot at over $10 million in guaranteed cash prizes. Make your entry into the draft today. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the NFL season without having to worry about managing your roster, waiver wires, and more. To start playing best ball, download the DraftKings app using code PFF. Enter DraftKings Best Ball Millionaire Contest and snake draft your team for the season. Each week, you'll automatically rack up points from all your top scorers. No ads, drops, trades, or I should have played him insteads. Teams with the most points by the end of the season will have a shot to take home the $1 million top prize. So what are you waiting for? Head to the DraftKings app and sign up with code PFF and start playing best ball today. Join the DraftKings $10 million best ball tournament only on DraftKings with code PFF. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, so that does it for the first six rounds. Let's go to round seven here, picks 82 to 84, that kind of range. Nate, what were you looking at in these rounds here?
Definitely looking at wide receiver after failing out with the top quarterback, a top tight end, three running backs already, and only have one wide receiver at this point. So wide receiver is definitely a need, and there are definitely wide receivers in this range that I am happy to pick up. Jahan Dotson, who we talked about at the start of the show, how well he played in the preseason so far, and just whenever he's been healthy, he's been scoring touchdowns. Consistent part of the offense, was averaging 70 receiving yards a game at the end of last season as well. So if he's up and scoring 70 yards and scoring a touchdown every other game, then definitely happy to have him, and hopefully he continues to improve in his second season. Michael Thomas is another one. I've written a couple dozen player profiles, and Thomas was one of my favorite ones to write up, just seeing how he will probably do with Derek Carr at quarterback, and how what Carr has done in his career matches up with what Thomas does well. So Thomas in the preseason so far has played all the snaps with the starters, so that's also been promising to see him healthy and playing, even though it's a preseason, and with his injury history, they've been having him on the field, which is great to see. So expect him to be a full-time starter and playing well this season. And then Jordan Addison's the third one that I've been getting a lot in this range. In my opinion, the top rookie wide receiver option this season, should see plenty of playing time, and in a pass happy offense with a good quarterback, I think that just adds up to a great season. And with Jefferson on the field as well, that defenses have to account for, with TJ Hockenson, that teams have to account for, I think Addison should be able to take advantage of not always having the greatest defenders going up against him and taking advantage of those matchups.
Yeah, I like it. And yeah, for me, wide receiver as well, but because there's always the chance that I didn't go tight end earlier, and I didn't really commit to it in round five or whatever it was, because I did want to go Drake London or one of those other guys there. So David Njoku is probably the only other one that's kind of different that I would like here. You know, Goddard, or if one of those guys falls, then I'll definitely take them, but they're not going to likely make it to this range. So if I can get David Njoku, he's kind of the last one that I'd probably feel comfortable with as a weekly starter, even though, you know, there are some other guys who I'll look to pair him with, that maybe have like decent upside later on. But I don't mind Njoku here. You know, he finished as the PPR tight end 10 last season. He missed three games as well, and that was with a struggling Browns offense. So he also posted six top 10 PPR finishes last season, three of them inside the top five, highly targeted in the red zone. He's been efficient. I think if the Browns offense can improve under Deshaun Watson, then he's likely to see plenty of targets. So Njoku's kind of the last chance I get really at what I'd feel comfortable with as a starting tight end. I know, you know, Pat Freiermuth and Dalton Schultz, people don't mind those guys, but I would just feel a little bit better here with Njoku kind of being the last one of that tier for me. Otherwise, I'm just like you, starting to target those kind of young upside wide receivers, right? George Pickens, Marquise Brown, Jordan Addison, Jahan Dotson, all those kinds of guys that, you know, we think have decent upside with as long as they have competent quarterback play, and they should have at least decent production floors as well. So even Deontay Johnson, somebody that I've seen hanging around in this range, I know it doesn't show that in ADP a lot, but I've had a lot of drafts where Deontay Johnson falls, and I'm happy to take him here as well, along with some of those younger guys. So that's kind of round seven for me.
Yeah, just to mention the tight ends here as well, Evan Engram, someone who's also probably gone at this point, that I know I consider as part of the tier of the tight ends that you were talking about. Some people even have him in a tier above some of the guys that you were mentioning, but it's just another kind of annoying point of ADP and where we're picking here, that Engram, someone that you're either reaching on and getting way before his ADP, or you're not going to be able to get. So that's another point of, there's just limited tight end options if you're picking at this point of the draft. So you're probably not going to get him in round seven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. In round eight, so we're basically picking right again, only a couple picks later here. What's your strategy here? I know you went wide receiver heavy last one. Are you keeping that going here in round eight?
Yeah, it's pretty much exact same thing that I was saying before. Good to have three wide receivers at this point of the draft, so being able to get a third one. And a lot of the guys that I was mentioning in the previous round are still available in this round. So even though it might be a little bit of a reach to get one of the wide receivers in round seven, I want to get two of these wide receivers if I can. So Michael Thomas is the one I highlighted in the article just because I already took Dotson in the round before.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, same guys as well for me. It was draft a wide receiver here. JSN even potentially moves into this range along with Jordan Addison and Marquise Brown. But yeah, this was last year. This was like a kind of area where I found I was going after guys like Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. We kind of try to find the next version of those guys here in this part of the draft as well by targeting those unproven young high upside wide receivers. So that's been a pretty common move for me as well in round eight. In round nine, it's a little bit later. Now we're into the 100s here. So picks 106 to 108. Nate, where are you going in round nine?
Nine, I am potentially going back to running back. When I did write this article, it was late last week. I have Samaje Perine as my top option, but I'm a little less excited about him after seeing Williams play in the preseason game and seeing Perine mostly play in passing situations. So a little less high on Perine, even though I just wrote this article like 5 days ago. But Khalil Herbert, someone else that I'd consider. He's still going in the ninth round. I know his ADP has slowly but surely been creeping up, which has made it a little bit harder to target running backs in this range in general. But I think if someone like Herbert is available here, I even in this article had rounds 9 and 10 going running backs, just trying to get some of these last few options that look like they have a decent chance of being a starting running back. James Cook was someone that I was also once was targeting in this range, but you probably can't get him in this range anymore. So I'm generally probably trying to get one of those running backs if there's a clear running back that's fallen to this point. But if not, then I'm fine just going back to wide receivers, since if I drafted one of the top quarterbacks and one of the top tight ends, then I'm probably not looking at getting a backup quarterback or a backup tight end anytime soon.
Yeah, running back makes a lot of sense here. And this was the same kind of thing that I was looking at as well, right? Brian Robinson, Antonio Gibson are guys that kind of go in this range that I don't mind here. I know I'm starting to maybe feel a little bit optimistic about this Washington offense, and there's a lot of mouths to feed there. But I think each of these guys within that offense, you know, whether it's McLaurin or Dotson, Robinson or Gibson, they have like that big week potential. And in round nine, I'm more open to the idea of kind of taking some shots on these maybe boom bust type running backs like a Robinson or a Gibson. So same thing with round 10, really. It's guys like Zach Charbonnet. I'm still okay with Samaje Perine here. And you know, just because they could potentially have bigger roles than we expect heading into the year. So I do like that they could be useful flex options in a pinch, guys like that. But I think Anthony Richardson is in play as well for me, and someone that I've taken a decent amount of swings on this season, even if for nothing else than stopping my league mates from getting in on that potential upside at the position this late in the draft, right? If I already have a Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson or Justin Fields already, I don't have to worry about, you know, starting Anthony Richardson week one or early in the year or anything like that. So if he does show out like I think he can for fantasy, then, you know, he's on my roster at least and not on someone else's that I might have to face in crucial times of the year, even if I'm not starting him, right? So Anthony Richardson has been somebody that I've been drafting a lot this year, and with that in mind.
Yeah, that's a very important part of fantasy football, is drafting people that you know other people in your league want so they can't get them.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go to, we're getting into the double digit rounds here. So this is round 11 now. So picks 130 to 132. Nate, what was the strategy that you highlighted for this these rounds?
Yeah, big thing is getting back to wide receiver. There's just so many wide receivers at this point that are clear starters on the team. A number of them expected to play 80 to 90 to 100% of the offensive snaps. So they're just guys that you know are going to be on the field and have opportunities, and there are plenty of wide receivers with talent. Zay Jones, Romeo Doubs, two of those wide receivers that fit that description of they look like guys that are going to be playing all the time in 11 personnel and 12 personnel. Rashad Bateman, Adam Thielen, other guys who are in different situations with Bateman, a new offensive coordinator, Thielen, a new team and a new position, playing a lot more in the slot in Carolina than he was doing in Minnesota. So just guys to take chances on. The other position that I mentioned here, draft a tight end for somewhat similar reasons to what you said, even though was happy to get a tight end in the middle rounds of the draft with Chigozie Okonkwo going around this time of the draft or so. And how it looks like he's going to have a more significant role this season, playing all of the snaps in 11 personnel in the first preseason game with the starters and some in 12 personnel as well. So he's someone that we've been high on throughout the offseason, even higher on now that he's played a preseason game. Just, I would say off the charts, but I've made plenty of charts where I was able to fit him on the charts just far away from all of the other players on the chart with how well he was doing on a per play basis last year. So I'm happy to get him, especially because some of the tight ends, even if you go beyond the top five, like Kyle Pitts is a huge gamble because he could hit it big. He could not. We hope Darren Waller is able to stay healthy, but he is older for his the tight end position and has an injury history. So I am starting to become more okay getting a tight end in this range if I didn't get one of those top three or four tight ends, just to have a little bit more insurance, especially with a high upside player like Okonkwo available this late in the draft.
Yeah, for sure. Okonkwo's a good one. And even Dalton Kincaid is somebody that I found like in this range. He's actually jumped ahead of Okonkwo in ADP on a lot of sites. So he's been another one that I've been pairing with one of those kind of safer tight ends earlier on, or one of those clearer starters, right? But yeah, this is like from this point on, at least in the next like three or four rounds, it's been pretty wide receiver heavy for me, at running back as well, like just kind of filling the rest of your roster. But like you said, the guys like Elijah Moore, Nico Collins, Alan Lazard, even at wide receiver in these next two rounds or so, rounds 11 and 12, are guys that I find that I've been going after a lot, just because, like you said, they're starters. They're going to be on the field. They have the potential on any given week to lead their team in targets, even if it's not for the entire season. Right. So we do like that floor for them. Kenneth Gainwell's another one that I'm willing to kind of grab a little bit higher in this, maybe like the 12th round, because I do think he's going to start getting into that range at some point now with the way that this Eagles offense or backfield has been kind of playing out. So typically was going maybe like 13th, 14th round. I wouldn't mind, just to make sure that I get him, getting him in like the end of the 12th round.
Yeah, a couple of things there with the tight ends. This is probably a little early for Sam Laporta, but he's probably the third tight end in that group of, if I draft a safe tight end early and I'm looking for a high upside backup, it's those three: Okonkwo, Dalton Kincaid, Sam Laporta has joined my list of the three high upside tight ends that you can get late. So a little early for him in the 11th round, but while we were on the topic, thought I should mention that I think Sam Laporta is in that category. And then, like you said, the wide receivers that are playing, I do feel like Kenneth Gainwell might not see his ADP rise too much more at this point, since Swift was the one that had week two off. So I think any raises that Gainwell would have happened already, only if like the Eagles end up cutting one of these running backs. But I wouldn't be surprised if Gainwell's ADP doesn't rise too much more than what it currently is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, so we're good there to try to kind of get whoever we like, at least at wide receiver and tight end, like you said. And yeah, maybe we could wait a little bit on Gainwell, because yeah, this like 13th round is where there's a decent amount of running backs that I'm trying to get. And sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not, kind of thing. Like, again, depends on the league. Like these running back hungry leagues, I find it's hard to get guys like Tank Bigsby, Jaylen Warren, even Tyler Algier. A lot of the times, there's times where these guys are reached for, just to make sure that they get them. But looking at the ADP, a lot of the times this is where you can try to find these guys who could potentially carve out decent sized roles at some point this season, or at the very least be high end handcuffs that could fill in as the starters if the expected starters miss any time. So this has been like round 13 and 14 really has been where I'd go probably running back heavy and try to get multiple of these guys before kind of avoiding the position for the most part later on.
Yeah, I'm exact same page as you. Have Tank Bigsby as my top option here, kind of Gainwell as the second option. I typically ended these articles around round 13 just because once you get this late in the draft, ADP does starts to not matter as much. It's just kind of pick who you want to fill out your roster, get a kicker and defense if you have to get a kicker and defense. Wait as long as you can to get a backup quarterback if you feel you need a backup quarterback and you've drafted a good one. But Bigsby, Gainwell, I'm fine with someone like Ezekiel Elliott this late as well, just not knowing exactly what his role will be in New England, but if he is scoring a lot of touchdowns again, he was still able to have fantasy success last year in Dallas with Tony Pollard getting as many snaps and touches and doing as well as he was doing. So even as a second running back in New England, there's at least a chance that he could do something this year. So even though he's a backup, we just don't know exactly what his role will end up being. So another kind of guy that I'm okay taking a chance on this slate.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. And yeah, this is, yeah, this, the rest of this draft, it's like, it's just pick your favorite sleepers. Right. And for me, like the most common, picks that I've ended my like an 18 round draft with have been Luke Musgrave and Sam Howell at tight end and then at quarterback or one or the other. I haven't done any drafts since last night, so I don't know if Sam Howell is going to move up or not. Or that's not true. I was playing around with the mock draft simulator today, but so that maybe counts as a draft. I haven't done any money drafts since last night, so I don't know if Sam Howell's going to move up because he looked good last night, but he's been somebody that I just grab in the final two rounds of drafts every single time. Same thing with Luke Musgrave. We've talked about him a couple times now, who I love. Zamir White is another one for the Raiders. We don't know exactly what's going to happen with Josh Jacobs this season, and I think Zamir White would be pretty much locked into the starting role there. It doesn't seem like they would necessarily bring somebody in to replace Josh Jacobs at this point. And yeah, it's guys, you know, whoever you like. A lot of the rookies, Rashee Rice, Jaden Reed, maybe. There's the Jerome Fords and Ty Chandlers of the world. Tank Dell is an exciting player that might be worth taking a shot on late here as well. So that's kind of the way, like just as far as like what to do in these final rounds, just basically targeting your favorite sleepers. I found round 14 to 18 around there, but even if it means not drafting a defense or a kicker to try to get one of these extra guys and then sorting it out before week one.
Yeah. Like I keep saying that as well of like, you can not draft a kicker and defense now and just wait before week one. We're getting closer and closer to week one. And yeah. Like, and a week or two from now, it doesn't make sense to say that anymore because it's just waiting a day or two.
I know. I can't wait
close to the season.
We're so close. Yeah, this is it's exciting. This is prime draft season. But that is going to do it for the fantasy draft strategy portion of our episode today. So yeah, if you're drafting in the later rounds of drafts, you could also find Nathan's article for every pick of each round to figure out where the best strategy is and what's the best path to follow there. You could find those on pff.com. So hopefully you enjoy that. Nate, the Ravens' undefeated preseason streak may have come to an end last night, but there is at least another streak that is arguably even more impressive that's still intact. As I pick up a fifth straight win in our head-to-head drafts, yesterday was best movie sequels, and even though I thought it might be closer, it wasn't. So Nate, the rumors are out there that your GM for these drafts is on the hot seat now. What can you do to get back on track?
Well, there are rumors that my GM has been tanking in order to get the first round pick in this draft that we have today of best Star Wars character. We've had this plan for a while now with Ahsoka coming out later tonight. Yeah. So we knew we wanted to do best Star Wars characters. So only one of us gets the first pick and only one of us gets to pick Darth Vader first overall. So in order for me to get Darth Vader, I had to lose yesterday. So sacrifices needed to be made.
Yeah, you're playing the long game here, and that makes a lot of sense. But yeah, Darth Vader, the clear 101, I think. I mean, it would be a mistake to choose basically anybody else, right? And you know, from this point on, you can make cases for anybody at 102. But yeah, Darth Vader at 101 just makes too much sense here. But I am going to go for my second pick. I'm going to go Luke Skywalker. So Darth Vader's son, the hero of the story. I like Luke Skywalker. My firstborn son's name is Luke, after Luke Skywalker. I wanted to make his middle name Skywalker. My wife wouldn't allow it. So I'll honor him again here with my first overall pick.
Fair enough. I can't fault you for that, but I will get who I think is probably more of the hero of those episodes of Star Wars, Han Solo, or at least the more fun character in those stories with Harrison Ford portraying that character. So Han Solo was second on my list, so I'm happy to get him with my second pick.
Yeah, it was Han Solo or Luke Skywalker to me. I knew I wasn't going to get both of them, so I had to make the choice here and end it. I'm hoping that Luke Skywalker is a name that people will gravitate to and vote for, but we'll see. I definitely think Han Solo is worthy of the second pick. Second for me, I'm going to go with Obi-Wan Kenobi. So that'll be the second pick. We'll pair him up with Luke Skywalker. We got, you know, one of his teachers and Luke Skywalker to take on Darth Vader and company here. So Obi-Wan, you know, pretty big story that we got from him. We got him across all the prequels and you know, the animated series and things like that. And obviously the main trilogy as well. So hopefully there's enough lore there for people to be like, yeah, Obi-Wan is the more interesting character.
And you don't even mention his own show with that list of all the things that he's done. I think I'm going to stay away from humans with this pick and go with Yoda for my third pick. I think having a well-rounded group of characters is going to do me well in this draft, having people who aren't necessarily all allies or interacted a ton here and there, but I think having Yoda on this group, like, it was really hard to pick who should be second overall between, I think, all the people that we've just picked and one or two other people. I think you could make a case for any of them to be the second overall pick, but I think Yoda's definitely in that tier of Star Wars characters that could have gotten picked second overall.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yoda's a great pick. I think we're sticking within that original trilogy for our first six choices here off the board, because I'm going to put Princess Leia. Also another main character, right? I can't let you have all the main characters from the original ones. Leia's gonna come in and hopefully bring some diversity to my team, like you brought in with yours and the Yoda alien creature.
Well, now we do have the top six off my board. Those were the five other people outside of Vader that I was considering as the second overall potential people on my list. So now I have to start digging further down the list at this point, but I think I will further diversify and get a droid and get the most well-known droid and most popular droid from most of the series, R2-D2. So
nice. Yeah, I'm glad you chose R2-D2 and not C-3PO. R2-D2 is the superior droid for sure.
Yeah, no, C-3PO is not on my screen whatsoever of potential options.
No, he's not on mine either. All right, good pick, R2-D2. Good call. All right, so, oh man, this is tough. This is tough. I am going to go, you know what? Recency bias has worked well for me lately. So I'm going to go with Din Djarin. Well,
yesterday.
Yeah, it's true. Din Djarin, the Mandalorian. I think as far as all the new Star Wars stuff that they've created, and we haven't seen Ahsoka yet, so it could still be up there. But the Mandalorian has been one of the best things that they've done as far as new Star Wars content goes. So I'll put Din Djarin and the Mandalorian as my fourth pick.
I think since you had a sentimental pick with one of your picks, I think I'm going to have to go with Grogu for my last pick. John and I play a game called Goose Goose Duck, and in that game, I have been Baby Yoda ever since I started playing both that and Among Us with the idea of if I had that as my name, no one's going to want to kill me because who wants to kill Baby Yoda? So that is the origin of my Baby Yoda name there. So I think since I have been Baby Yoda in that game for like 3 years now, I have to at least pick Grogu in this draft.
Fair enough. Yeah, Grogu's... Yeah, he's a fun character. He's lovable, and that might win you a lot of votes for sure. So, yeah, good call. Last one for me is tough. Oh, my God. I think it's between Darth Maul and Ahsoka Tano. Damn. I think Ahsoka is one of the best Star Wars characters. I have to put Ahsoka in here. Just watch, like, if anybody's watched Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels, like the animated series, like she's one of the more interesting main characters that they've created. That's been an original away from the movies. And she was Anakin Skywalker's Padawan and just honestly a fantastic character. I'm really looking forward to Ahsoka tonight. So hopefully a lot of people are as well. And they're like, yeah, let's give John some votes for picking Ahsoka in here.
Yeah, this one was hard to limit it to five people because there's like eight from the original trilogy that you're like, you have to pick one of or a lot of those people because they are the most popular and are deserving because they started Star Wars and what made it what it was. But then there's so many characters from these side projects or projects that have come afterwards that it's like there's some good ones there. There's plenty of not good ones as well, but there are a number of good ones that we are passing on here too. And like even someone like Chewbacca isn't getting picked in our draft. So
yeah, for sure.
There's just too many options.
Yeah, really. I mean, Lando Calrissian is a good one as well. I like him too, right? So there's, yeah, people are going to be upset as usual that we left something out. Somebody was upset.
Like we completely ignored the two. We completely ignored episode 7 through 9 through all of this for the most part. So.
Yeah, we really did. But probably for good reason. We'll see. But yeah, so you got Darth Vader, Han Solo, Yoda, R2-D2, Grogu, and then I went Luke Skywalker, Obi-Wan, Princess Leia, the Mandalorian, Din Djarin, and Ahsoka Tano. So we'll see. Will this end the streak or will we get to 6? I don't know. But that is going to do it for another episode of the PFF Fantasy Podcast. Thank you all again so much for listening. Nate, a big thank you to you as well. Before you go, let the good people know what they can find on PFF.com this week from you.
Sure. So today I had my Monday Night Football recap. I had sleepers, breakouts, and league winners for running backs, which I know some of those I've written about recently, but sleepers, especially, it's been a while since I wrote up, and plenty of those have changed at this point. I did my underrated players by round, which I've done the last couple years, a perfect wide receiver draft strategy. Tomorrow I've got an update to my PPR rankings, updated depth charts for all 32 teams, overvalued players by round, sleepers, breakouts, and league winners at wide receivers. I have those for quarterbacks and tight ends going up later this week. Also have perfect draft strategy for 16-team leagues going up later this week since I've had a few people asking for that. And then Thursday, we're already back to the preseason again, so more preseason recaps Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Beautiful. Love it. Yes, we will be back tomorrow as well. We're drafting again. So be sure to check that out. Be sure to subscribe to the PFF Fantasy YouTube channel as well, because we're going to be utilizing that tomorrow as we use our PFF Fantasy mock draft simulator, which should be pretty fun as we kind of walk through some of the drafts and highlight some of the features that thing has in it that can really help your draft strategy throughout. So looking forward to that. Should be fun. And yeah, we'll be back. And until then, peace out.